Masechet Kelim Perek Bet Mishnah Zayin will now list earthenware kelim that are similar to the ones in Mishnah Gimel, but the difference is these are able to become tameh, so they must have some sort of container that could hold on to something. Mishnah says, Hatemein Shebekli Hayres, the tameh amongst the earthenware kelim, Tavla Sheyeshba Lizbez, a tray that has a rim around it. The rim keeps the plates on it from sliding off. Umahta shelema, and a complete shovel for coal. The shovel also has a rim around it on four sides that make sure the coal doesn't fall off. Betavlashi mele'a ke'arot. The law for a tray that's filled with all bowls that are attached to it is as follows. These are trays that had different compartments where people would have bowls in them, so the bowls were part of the original utensil and then physically attached from it. They seem to be common in Egypt during the time of the Rambam. Nitmet achat mehem besheretz lo nitmeu kulam. If one of them became impure through a sheretz, a crawler that fell in it, the others do not become tameh. Even though the bowls are attached to the tray, they're considered to be a separate keli, and the tumah of one does not affect the tumah of the other. Each bowl is used independently, and therefore they're considered to be separate kelim. So if one of them becomes tameh, it doesn't affect the status of the other. Im yeshla lizbez odef, but if the tray has a rim around it that's taller than the sides of the bowls, if one of the bowls becomes tameh with the sheretz, all of the bowls become tameh. It's because as soon as the sheretz enters the airspace of the rim, which happens before it enters the airspace of the bowl, boom, right at that moment in time, the entire tray becomes tameh. So since the rim here is of the entire tray is higher than each individual bowl, the entire tray becomes tameh once the sheretz lowers into that spot that's higher, which is the rim around the tray, and all the bowls are therefore considered to be part of the tray. Vechen, bet tavlin shel cheres. The same applies to an earthenware spice box that has different compartments for all different types of spices. Bekalmarim hamitu amot, and to a scribe's box, which is like a desk organizer that has different compartments to hold different tools that a scribe would use, some for ink, some for quills. If a sheretz falls into the airspace of one of the compartments, only that compartment becomes tameh, not the others, because they're all considered to be separate compartments. But if the container has a rim or a wall that's taller than the walls of the individual compartments, and a sheretz falls into that airspace, even any of the compartments, but the rim is there, it's higher, the entire box becomes tameh with all of its compartments. Now I was talking about first a earthenware spice box and then a scribe's box. Now we'll talk about a wooden spice box and show how there's a similarity between them. The source for tum'ah in this case is a liquid that's tameh. Like we learned above, only midrabanan, on a rabbinic level, a tameh liquid could make a utensil tameh. But if the tameh liquid touches only the outside of the utensil, just the outside becomes tameh, but not the inside. We'll now explain how this rule would affect a tameh liquid that falls into one of the boxes of a wooden spice box. If one of the compartments of a wooden spice box becomes tameh through a tameh liquid touching it inside, lo nitma havero, the other compartment that shares a wall with it doesn't become tameh, because the second compartment was touched by the liquid only on its outside. And when a tameh liquid touches the outside of a utensil, only the outside becomes tameh, but the inside remains tahor. When two compartments here are sharing the wall, the inner side of the wall of one compartment is the outer side of the wall of the other compartment. So therefore, let's say tameh liquid falls into one of them, then that's considered the inside of that one. But it also is the same wall as the outside of a different one. So therefore, only the outside of that section next to it in the spice box becomes tameh, but the inside stays tahor, stays pure. From the din that we just learned, it would seem that even though the second compartment does not become tameh, the wall between the two compartments does become tameh. Now we'll say how much of that wall becomes tameh. Rabbi Yohanan ben Uli Omer, holkin et ovyo. We divide the wall's thickness in half, says Rabbi Yohanan ben Uri. Hameshamesh la tameh, tameh. Hameshamesh la tahor, tahor. The half of the wall that serves the tameh compartment is tameh, and the half of the wall that serves the tahor compartment is tahor. A utensil becomes tameh from tameh liquids only rabbinically. So says Rabbi Yohanan ben Uli over here, he says, the wall is divided in half and only the half of it becomes tameh. Hachamim, though, disagree with his opinion and say, no, on a rabbinic level, the entire wall becomes tameh, and that's how they sort of, that they concluded in the last part of the Mishnah. A spice box that we were talking about until now is one where the walls are the dividers between the compartments. Those walls are as high as the outer walls of the box. Now we'll teach the deen for a spice box where the dividers are not as high as the outer walls of the box. Im yesh lo lizbez odef, nitma had mehem nitma havero. But if the spice box has a rim that's higher than the walls of the individual compartments, then if one of the compartments becomes tameh by being touched by tameh liquids, all of the compartments as well become tameh. The outer rim here combines all of the compartments that are below it into one utensil, so that if one part of the utensil becomes tameh, the rest of the utensil becomes tameh as well. Even though there's individual compartments, it doesn't matter. Since the rim sort of brings them all together and turns it into one utensil, all of them become tameh in this scenario.